Thank you very much, Cordelia. I want to talk for a little bit this morning about challenging journeys. Wonder what, if you have the privilege of travelling to work tomorrow morning, what your journey will be like, or dropping off the kids at school, what will your journey be like? I wonder if it will be anything like this. If the first picture, that would be great. Perhaps we can just dim a couple of lights as well. This is in the a remote village in China, and these good folks are on this pulley system going across this ravine, 1,500 feet tall, and 1 kilometre in length. Makes the M25 look not quite so bad, really, doesn't it? Perhaps we can have a couple of lights on. I feel like I'm slightly in darkness. Thank you, thank you. If we have the next slide, that would be great. This one is a zip line, an 800-metre zip line, and these children are going to school. They are, heading down this 800-metre zip line, 400 metres above the Rio Negro River in Colombia. I think that's looks quite fancy, that one, actually. It looks quite good fun, doesn't it? Anybody else want to give that a whirl? That's probably a challenging journey, though, nevertheless, a challenging journey. And then this next one here, so a damaged suspension bridge. And this is over the Rebac in Indonesia. And it looks a bit scary, doesn't it? My goodness me, you think you kind of got to hold on fairly tight there. It perhaps makes Southern Rail look not perhaps quite as bad as maybe you felt it was. Challenging journeys come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, don't they? I was reading the other day about Ernest Shackleton, who was on many challenging journeys, but his third challenging journey when he was trying to cross the Antarctic on a sea expedition, 1914 to 1917. My goodness me, what a long time to be in that sort of wasteland, that desolate wasteland. Many of you will know the story. The Endurance got trapped in sea ice and became crushed. The men had to camp on the ice pack until it started to melt, and then they got into their lifeboats and they set sail for Elephant Island, an uninhabited island. It wasn't a particularly good place to be, so they decided instead to head for South Georgia. A voyage of 720 nautical miles in the open sea in a tiny boat. 720 nautical miles. Can you imagine the despair and the hopelessness that they must have felt when they set off on that journey, that there was no way they were going to make it, and yet they kept going. They kept that hope alive. Challenging journeys come in all sorts of shapes and sizes. Go to the next slide. The challenging journey that we read about in today's Bible reading, the road to Emmaus, these two disciples who almost certainly had very little hope left in their bag. They were heading back home after being in Jerusalem, after witnessing the events of Good Friday, after hearing confusing reports of the grave being empty, but not quite knowing what that was about. And for them, it seems that their hope has almost gone. Have you noticed in the passage how they talk about everything in the past tense? We had hoped, they said. We had hoped. Not we do. We had hoped. Our women came and told us this strange story. He was, we hoped, a prophet, powerful in word and deed. But then it all went wrong. Hope deserted them. Hope left them. And now they are returning home with nothing. With nothing. They're empty. They have nothing left to give to hope. We don't really know who these disciples were. There were, of course, the 11 who were, or the 12 who became 11, who were Jesus' closest confidants and friends. We know the name that one of these disciples is Cleopas, and we think that he would have been part of the sort of extended group of disciples that Jesus had. We don't know who the other disciple was. Many scholars think it may have been Cleopas' wife, Mary. So we've perhaps got a husband and wife team who are talking with one another and consoling one another on this road as they return home. And I guess all of us have been in that sort of situation where we feel that hope has somehow deserted us, that we feel actually, that if not physically, we're metaphorically just packing up our things and going home. Just think, well, actually, what's the point anymore? There's nothing left to kind of go with here. So we'll just head home. And that's what happens with these disciples. And then the remarkable transformation happens. We can have the next slide. This remarkable transformation. Jesus draws alongside them. He meets them where they are in the midst, in the challenge of their hopelessness. He comes alongside and he is there. He is present with them. He speaks into their hopelessness and he brings his peace. He tells them off a bit as well, doesn't he? He sort of scolds them slightly. Says, oh, you know, how slow you are, you bunch of thickies. You know, come on, get with the program. And then he leads them through the most remarkable Bible study that anybody's ever been to. It would even beat Pilgrim. Jesus sits down with them. He opens the scriptures. He says, where's the Bible? He says, can you see? I mean, it wouldn't have been the New Testament, so I'm just going to sort of just cut that bit out. Can you see how this is about me? That's what he says. Jesus is showing them so clearly as he leads them through the prophets, as he leads them through all of those stories that are so familiar to them and are familiar to us. Can you see, he says, this is about me. I am the Messiah. Well, he doesn't quite say it in that way, does he? Because he's not revealed to them at that point. And there's an interesting point there, isn't there? He says they are stopped from seeing. They were prevented from seeing who he was. Perhaps that was because sometimes, and in this case, I think, if Jesus had just said, hey, it's me, they would have not heard very much that he'd said afterwards. Sometimes we need to be able to hear something without having the distractions around us. Occasionally, even, we need to travel a journey and not knowing that Jesus is right there with us. He is, of course, just as he was on this road. It's just the disciples didn't see him. They couldn't feel him, didn't acknowledge him. For us, sometimes, we don't always feel God with us. We don't understand sometimes why things are happening. But God can teach us through those times just as much as the times when he opens up the scriptures. But perhaps they're prevented from seeing him by their own hopelessness. They're blinded by that lack of hope, by their despair. But Jesus opens the scriptures. He reveals himself to them, both in scripture and also in sacrament. So think of the next slide. And these are the two ways that we still experience Jesus as a church. When we open the pages of this book, we need to open ourselves to the Spirit of God being at work in us. Open ourselves to him drawing alongside us. And as a church, we need to be committed to going deeper and deeper into this book, deeper and deeper into God's word for each one of us. And we do that, of course, on our own, but we do it as they did here in community with others. It's why life groups are so important. It's why something like Pilgrim is so important. We sit in community. This is a community book. Sometimes we're at risk of privatizing the Bible. This is a book to be read in community. It's why we have a Bible reading in church every week. It's a book to be read and processed and interpreted in community. And Jesus reveals himself to us when we do that. So he meets us in scripture. He also meets us in the breaking of the bread. And when he sat down with the disciples, and remember, these disciples wouldn't have been there in the Last Supper. They wouldn't have known that first breaking of the bread that Jesus did in that upper room. They weren't there. But there's something which clicks for them. Their eyes are opened when they sit down around that table and when bread is broken, when that meal is shared, Jesus reveals himself. They see who he is. And of course, as a church, when we share communion together, when we break the bread and the wine, Jesus is revealed to us in a particular and in a special way. The disciples in this passage say, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" That's our hope, our prayer. As Sally prayed in those intercessions for us as a church, are not our hearts burning within us? as we continue this road, this journey with him. It's not only when we share the bread and the wine at communion, though. When we come together as people and share meals, when we share hospitality with one another, I think God is there in a special way as well. We're going to go from here, and I really hope you'll come down and join us for the shared lunch. Don't worry if you haven't brought anything. I'm sure we can make it stretch. But I think when we come together as a body, as a community, when we share, when we break bread, when we share food together, we're on that journey, and God meets us in Jesus in a special way in those occasions as well. Those disciples all that time ago were companions on that road, weren't they? They were companions on that journey. They were companions of pretty much hopelessness until Jesus met them. He met them in Scripture. He met them in sacrament. He met them where they were. And that journey of despair and hopelessness was transformed. And they go back to the disciples, don't they? And they say, it is true. We have met him. We have met the risen Jesus. The risen Jesus has come and has walked with us. And that's my prayer for us as a church, for each one of us as individuals. Yes, absolutely. As a community, absolutely. That we will meet with the risen Jesus. That we will walk that road with him, that journey with him. That he will meet us where we are. That we will know his peace and his joy. That's what he does, isn't it? That's what Jesus does. That's what this story tells us. That's what he does. That's his promise to each one of his disciples and his promise to us here in Chipstead all those years after that first journey. So as we continue this journey over this next year as a church, we need to remember that Jesus is meeting us. Jesus is walking with us. And he transforms our experience because that's what he does. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came and walked that road, that challenging journey all those years ago with those disciples, and you brought hope and opened up the scriptures and met them in the bread and the wine, and that you were revealed to them in all your glory. We pray the same for us, Lord, as a church, that you will meet with us where we are, that you will walk this journey, this road, that we will know your love, your power, your peace, and your purpose. Lord, help us more and more as we journey on this road of discipleship with you to open our hearts and our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.